First Peter chapter number 2. Did I say 2? All right. First Peter chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy." And listen, because we're saved, we ought to be different. We've been transformed from darkness to light. We're to be a peculiar people. Now I want to look over in Daniel chapter 1, and I like Daniel. And most of you know Daniel chapter 1, and we know that Daniel and his three friends were taken into captivity, and they decided, they purposed in their heart, they were not going to eat the king's meat. They were not going to be Babylonians. They were God's children, and they were going to live by God's law. And because of their submission and because of their sweet spirit, they were allowed to prove God. And God, listen, when you prove God, God's always faithful. And God proved Himself faithful. But I want you to look at verse 19. This is when they come in before the king. In verse 19 it says this, it says, "And the king communed with them, and among them was found none like," underline those two words, "none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in the manners of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them and found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm." Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for the word of God tonight. I pray you bless the message. Lord, thank you for our pastor. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak in his stead tonight. And I pray you be with him in a mighty way and use him. But Lord, we sure want you to use us here. And God, I pray that something I might say would be a blessing and a help to this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. We see in Daniel chapter 1 that in the Old Testament, that in captivity, Daniel and his three friends decided they were going to be God's children. They were going to stand out. They were going to be peculiar. Now in today's society, the appeal is to be different, to stand out, to be original. The question that you must ask is, different from what? See, the world's difference is this. The world's difference, when they say, "Hey, I'm different, and I want to be different, and I have my own style, and you know, you've got to kind of let you know who I am." When they say when teenagers say, "Listen, I just want to be different," the problem is they want to be the same as everybody else. So when the question should be asked, "Different from what?" and the answer is this: different from authority. Think about it. The difference is from, listen, they just want to be different than God. They want to be different than their parents. They want to be different than the preacher. Hey, and listen, we had a whole society back in the 60s that wanted to be different from government. We're just different. We're the flower children. We're the peace and love people. And listen, they rebelled against the government. Listen, we rebel against the... And listen, we do it and we say this: we're just different. Hey, we're just different. Listen, this tells us the real reason society says they want to be different and stand out. It's just rebellion. It's rebellion against God. It's rebellion against authority. It's rebellion against God's order and structure. Now, it's not new. It's not original. It's as old as Satan. He's a snake, and he has to change to stay in business. See, his strengths are change in time. He's just got to change, and over time, people just forget that he changes. And he goes back and forth, back and forth. It's like in our society... They're talking about this depression and this recession going all the way back to 1929, and they're doing the same thing they did in 1929 to try to fix it. And you know what happened after 1929? We went into the Great Depression. And they're doing the same thing over and over again. And listen, the devil, his strength is... God's is he doesn't change. And listen, our strength ought to be as his people. We ought not change. His trap makes you think that you're being different. Hey, there are churches that are, you know what, they want to be different to try to attract people. I want to be, hey, they're going to use different music. They're going to use different Bibles. They're going to use different approaches to evangelism and all this stuff. It's all different. But listen, it's all the same. It's all the same. And listen, it's just, I want to be different than authority. So his trap is to make you think that you're being different, but you're really just a face in the crowd. That's all you are. Now notice, out of all these Babylonians in captivity, all these Jewish young men and young ladies that are young men that had been to young ladies, they were eunuchs, taken into captivity. I'll get it right. But anyway, they were taken into captivity. Listen, four of them decided, listen, I'm not going to be a face in the crowd. Listen, I'm going to stand out. I'm going to be peculiar. I'm going to be different. How were they different? They decided to stand with God and God's Word. See, the world just wants you to be different, to rebel against authority, to rebel against God. I've had parents tell me that their children are different. They have their own way of doing things. They're original. They're broad-minded. No, they're just on the broad way. See, it's all the same. Young people tell me, I'm different. I'm just different than all the other young people. I want to be different. Listen, all the young people in the church just seem to all be the same. You know why? Because they have the same God and the same Word of God. And their parents are following the same instructions as every other parent in the church. Well, I'm different. No, you're a rebel. That's what you are. You're just a rebel. And you know what? You look just like the thousands and thousands of lost kids that walk around America today. Well, I'm different. No, you're not. You're not different. It's Satan's lie. You're just different. His lie is you're just different. You stand out. You're original. But as we can see in the first chapter of Daniel, that there were four Hebrew young people who really stood out from the crowd. They were peculiar. Not because of their skin color, not because of their haircut or their jewelry, or their makeup or their fashion, or their clothes or their age, or their disrespect to authority, or their loud music, or their weird philosophy, or their tattoos. You say, what stood out? Their character. Hey, the king saw something in those young people that he didn't see in the rest. What was it? Character. Character. Where does character come from? God. Doesn't come from Little League or band. It comes from God. It comes from His holy Word. And see, what the king noticed about these young people is they stood out because they had character. And character will always stand out in this evil, present evil world. Why the king noticed these four young men? Why were they so particular? I want to give you four reasons tonight why they were peculiar. And they stuck out. And they were peculiar. First of all, they had Bible convictions. They had Bible convictions. Daniel and his buddies were products of a Bible revival under King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 23. See, they grew up learning the Word of God. They developed godly character until God's judgment came. And then Babylonian captivity came. And listen to this. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. They decided at a very young age, did you hear me, parents? At a very young age, they decided they were going to stand with God. And when Babylonian captivity shows up, hey, when the judgment of God on Israel shows up, hey, they're still going to stand where they stood before the judgment. They're not going to fall for this stuff. They're not going to fall for the Babylonian fads of the day. They're going to stand. And they decided to do that. Why? They had some conviction. They weren't mom and dad's convictions. Now, these are principles that are not feelings or situational. They lived by the principles of God's Word and not the situation or the feelings of the day. Now, listen, how do you think they learned not to eat food offered to idols? Where do you think they learned that? They learned in Sunday school. They learned it at the knee of mom and dad. They learned it from God's Word. Hey, where did they learn not to worship idols? They learned it from God's Word. Hey, where did they learn to obey God rather than men? And when it's time to pray, it's time to pray. Regardless what anybody says. The Bible. See, convictions are developed. First of all, you've got to be exposed to the Bible. Question. How much Bible do you expose yourself to? Hey, the Bible says we're to be exposed to it daily. Well, Brother Davis, well, since Sunday, it's Wednesday, and you read the Bible tonight. I'm exposed to it. Bible says we're to be exposed to it daily. Hey, we're to train up our children in the way they should go every day. Hey, we're to believe the Bible is the Word of God. Now, listen to me on this. This is just common sense. The Bible is God's Word. God created us. He's over us. His Word is over us. It's God's Word. But yet we just flippantly cast it to the side. But see, if you got convictions, you can't do that. These boys had some conviction. You know what? They believed the Bible was the Word of God. They believed it by obeying it as such. Convictions cause actions. Hey, convictions are the spark plugs for actions. Hey, if you got a conviction, you're going to stand. Hey, you're going to do something about it. Hey, you're just going to burn in your heart, see? The problem with a lot of us is we got a lot of Bible up here, but it's not right here. I hear people all the time. I hear young people. I know the Bible. Yeah, it's right here, but it's not here. Hey, when it gets right here, you'll stand. Hey, listen, you won't put up with the rot of this world. You won't put up with the fashions of this world and the music of this world. Hey, when it gets right here. From the head to the heart. See, convictions cause actions. Daniel and his three friends didn't eat. It was their conviction. They received the Word of God. Not just in their head to conform temporarily, but from their heart. They practiced it long term. They were different because they had Bible convictions. See, they weren't just another face in the crowd. See, some of our young people think they're being different when they're actually just being like everybody else. You say, what are they being different from? They're being different from God. They're being different from mom and dad. They're being different from the preacher. They're being different from what God has taught us to be. So when your young person or even mom and dad say, hey, we're different, what are you different from? Hey, Bible convictions. These four Hebrew children, they were peculiar because they had Bible convictions. They weren't just another face in the crowd. Number two, they had unwavering courage. They stood up for what they believed. Boy, I wish we had some teenage young boys that would stand up for what God says. You know why youth departments go down? You know why a couple of kids can get in the youth department, a couple of teenagers, especially boys, or even some girls, and can ruin that thing? Because the ones that are there won't take a stand. Hey, they won't say in the back of the bus, we're not doing that. Hey, we're not going to talk like that. We're not going to bash authority. Hey, that's not what we're about here. You see what I'm saying? Take a stand. That's called courage. See, they stood up for what they believed. They didn't just say it. They backed it up with their life. See, courage, here's what courage is. And I want to write this down. Courage is proving God to be true. I'll say it again. Courage is proving God to be true. Courage is proving God to be true. Hey, let God be true and every man a liar. Hey, you know what David was doing with Goliath? Just showing Goliath he's a liar. He just stood up and said, hey, God's true, this guy's a liar, and I'm going to whip him. That's exactly what he did. Hey, David didn't go out there cocky. He just said, listen, this guy's a liar. Hey, you know what you do when you tithe your income? You're proving God. Hey, you're proving all the other people that don't tithe and make excuses. They're just liars. Hey, you folks that go soul winning. Hey, you know what you're proving to the Calvinist bunch that won't go soul winning? They're liars. See, we prove God. How do we prove? Hey, listen, they had unwavering. They just proved God's true. We just need to take something from this old black book and just say, you know what? God said it. I'm going to believe it. I'm just going to prove God and prove everybody else wrong. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to prove everybody else wrong. Now, listen, our society's going to hell in a handbasket. And listen, our churches are getting sucked in with it. It's time somebody stands up. If somebody stands up in your home and in this church and in your Sunday school class and on your bus route and says, you know what? We're just going to prove God to be true. Hey, we're going to prove prayer works. We're going to prove the Bible works. We're going to prove that soul winning works. We're going to prove that old-fashioned standards are still working today. The problem is we're forsaking it because we're scared. We're fear of what, well, gee whiz, what's the big popular fundamental Baptist church going to think of us? To blazes with what they think. We need to stand true, unwavering courage to stand up for what's right. Today it's hard to find Christians that'll stand up for God and the Bible. You know why? Because it takes courage. Because you know what? Truth is just being thrown in the street. It's being sold off. And those who are going to stand for truth, you know what? You're going to have to take it. It's not going to be easy. I can remember preachers saying, hey, back in the 70s, churches were thriving, and hey, man, people were responding to preaching. It's not that way anymore. If you're going to be a child of God, you know what? You're going to be the four Hebrew children in Babylon if you're going to live for God today. In our society, in what we call Christianity. Listen, most Christians, myself included at times, are just cowards. Situational cowards. God puts us in situations where we can take a stand and we don't. You know why? Because we have more confidence in ourselves than we do God. See, this bunch doesn't believe anything. They're non-denominational. Well, that's big today, isn't it? Non-denominational. What is that? What's that mean? I don't believe anything. I go to church. I have a form of godliness, but I deny the power thereof. What's the power of the Christian life? The Word of God. I don't believe anything. We need to cross denominational lines. No courage. No courage. True courage is fearing God more than man. See, cowards follow the crowd. They ask the question, is it popular? I guarantee you, young people in this room, they will not say it out loud, but listen, in their heart, the decisions that they make, they're asking themselves this question, will I be popular? Will I still have friends if I make this decision tonight? If I make this decision at camp, will I be popular with a certain crowd of people? See, they ask that question. But listen, you say the young people do that. Adults do it too. Gee whiz, how will I appear before the rest of the family? Hey, when we show up at Christmas, man, if I'm this crazy fundamentalist, man, what are they going to think? Hey, when my kids, hey, all their hair's cut, and listen, the cousins are all moppy-headed. What are they going to do? Fear. It takes courage to prove God's true. And it takes time. You don't do it overnight. Well, I tried that once, Brother Davis. Try it again. Hey, God, you prove God. God will prove Himself true over time. Every time. Every time. They stood out because they stood up for God. They had courage. The question is, do you and I have courage to stand up for the truth? Courage is proving God to be true. Hey, there's places in that Bible God wants you to prove to your neighbors, wants you to prove to your family, wants to prove to your children, God's true. God's true, and every man is a liar. Don't believe what man says, believe what God says. Number three, not only did they have Bible convictions and they stood with unwavering courage, but listen, they had godly companions. They had each other. You see, you become like those that you run around with. You know why some of you are uncomfortable in church? Because you don't run around with church people. You come every now and then. Hallelujah. Just telling the truth. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? You have more in common with the world than you do with God's people. See, these guys hung around each other not because they decided, well, we're just the nerds of the bunch, even though they probably were considered that. Nerds rule the world, amen? All right. Proverbs 13:20, that's something in our youth group. The Bible says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be, what? Wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. See, these guys were friendly, but they didn't have friendships. with the Babylonians. I believe you can be friendly to the world, but you don't have to have close ties with them. See, the Bible says friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Enmity with God. A lot of God's people have more in common with the world than they do God. They're more friendly in certain situations than they are at church around God's people. See, these guys prayed together. They stayed together. They encouraged one another. Hey, when one was down, the other one was up. Listen, they were unified. I hear talk about unity, unity, unity. Listen, the Democrats want us to unify. Hey, let's all get together now. They didn't want to do that when we had a Republican president. But now they want to unify. And hey, let's cross party lines and let's cross all this kind. Listen, unity has got to be based on not worldly brotherhood, but it's got to be based on Bible, the Bible, and its doctrine. That's what unity has to be based upon. See, we're not all brothers. See, that's why God uses the term, you must be born again. If you are a member of Trinity Baptist Church, you must be born again. And if you're not, you're not part of the brotherhood. You've got to be born into the family of God. But what we've got going now is we just want people to come in and fill the pews, so we're letting down our standards of church membership, and hey, we'll just win them to Christ and love them to Jesus as they corrupt our church. That's not the way God planned it. See, they had godly companions. They were unified based upon the Bible. And listen, you know what happened? These old boys, there were four of them out of this whole bunch. And listen, one of them believed the Bible, another one believed the Bible, and pretty soon they finally found each other. Birds of a feather flock together. Now, we always say that about the bad kids. They find each other. But I'll tell you what, you believe the Bible, you'll find other people that believe the Bible. It's just you're not going to find them by the tens and the hundreds and thousands. And you may not find them right away. See, the big group got together pretty quick, but it may have taken these guys a little while to find each other, but they found each other. They found each other. And listen, they had godly companions. They stuck it out because they stuck together. The Bible says this in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. See, what's that say? That says we got to stick together. Those of us that believe the Bible, those of us that believe God's Word, those of us that stand on the King James Bible as the Word of God for the English-speaking people that, listen, there's no error in it at all. Hey, we've got to stand together. We got to stand together. Hey, those of us that believe the Great Commission and that soul winning is right, regardless what people say, and we get the emails that say, what are you doing knocking on my door and don't talk to me about religion and all that kind of stuff. Hey, listen, we can't let that deter us from what God said to do. We've got to stand together on this thing. We've got to stand together on this thing. It's not just about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's about Thursday night and Saturday morning. Hallelujah. You say, when do we take a stand? We're not taking a stand in here. This is easy. Taking a stand's out there on Thursday and Saturday nights talking to people you have no idea what they're going to say back to you. You say, Brother Davis, I'm just not one of these guys that can stand up and do that. Then listen, you come and you stand behind somebody as a silent partner. See, here's what we think. We think, I'm not gifted at soul winning. You don't have to be gifted at soul winning. Take a stand for soul winning. Listen, there was a time when I wouldn't talk either, but you know what I did? I stood behind somebody that did. You know what I was saying? I'm for what he's doing. Then pretty soon, you know what? I said, I think I might want to do that. And then somebody stood behind me and said, hey, I believe in what he's doing. Hey, that silent partner that comes along, you know what they're saying? They're saying, listen, I'm for what this guy's talking about. It's a sad thing that we go soul winning alone, Brother Todd. Because we've got this thing going where it's a gift, and I just don't have the gift. It's not a gift, it's a command. Listen, I can pass out of track and be a soul winner. I don't have to be articulate to be a soul winner. I just got to get the message out somehow. Hey, if I blog it on the internet, get it out. Take a stand. Do something. But I tell you what, folks, we need to be a visible stand in this community that we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, regardless of what people say about it. Hey, regardless if, hey, the baptistry doesn't get stirred for 2 months, we still need to go soul winning. Well, let's try to find something else. Let's read a book and let's see if we can find out the way everybody else is doing it. It doesn't get done if it doesn't get God's way. Folks, we need to take a stand. Together. Hey, we need to be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We need to meet together. We need to encourage one another. But I tell you what we need to encourage one another to do, to get out in the street. Hey, to talk to our neighbors. To listen, encourage one another for evangelism throughout the week. We need to pray for laborers. I'm imploring some of you to come out and be a silent partner. Some of us have to go by ourselves because we don't have anybody to go with. Because there's a heresy out there saying, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't talk real good. I'll talk for you. Just stand behind me and just be there and say, hey, I agree with it. I agree with this fella. I agree with what she's saying. And pretty soon, our preacher taught us this. Soul winning's not taught, it's caught. You're never more together and unified than when you go soul winning together. Evangelizing the world. Hey, we can sit here and talk about it all day long, but until we get unified and we get out there and do it, hey, listen, we need to have a crowd out on Thursday night. We need to have a crowd out on Saturday morning. Or you know what? Sunday morning, Sunday night doesn't mean a whole lot. It's not bearing fruit, folks. I don't know if you're going to get a Sunday school pin in heaven if you never went soul winning. Well, I was faithful to Sunday school for 50 years, never missed a thing, but you never went soul winning. Never bore any fruit. But you were there because there was people that says, listen, if that's all you can do, I'm telling you this is not all God expects of you. And listen, these guys banded together. And they didn't band together with something that was just easy to do. They banded together on something that was tough to do. And I'm telling you this, it's easy to assemble in this church. It's hard to go soul winning. Hey, these guys banded together over something that was tough to do. They took a stand. They took a public stand for what they believe. And every time you march out on the streets and you have a handful of tracts and you got a Bible under your arm, you're taking a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world that doesn't want to hear. But I'll tell you what, there's some people that need it. And hey, we may have to wade through the stones and the rocks and the spit and the name calling to find that one little fella or that one little girl or hey, that one mom that's in distress or hey, that one daddy that's about to give up. That's what Jesus did for us. He endured the cross. We need to take up ours. But listen, we need to do it together. See, they stuck together because, listen, they stuck out because they had godly companions. Do you? Do you have somebody to go soul winning with? Do you have a prayer partner? Do you have somebody that encourages you spiritually? Now, young people, I'm not talking about friends that encourage you just for the world. I'm talking about friends that will encourage you to read your Bible and to pray and to go soul winning and to dress right and to look right and smell right and talk right. That's a godly companion. Hey, someone that'll tell you you're wrong. Iron sharpeneth iron. Hey, mom and dad, are you a friend to your kids? Tell them they're wrong once in a while. It shows you love them. It shows that you're thinking about God and God's Word too. See, they had godly companions. And lastly, and I'm through, they had continuance. The Bible says in verse 21 that Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. Listen, the three Hebrew children, listen, after this incident, they didn't bow down when the statue was raised up. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, bow or burn. They said, we'll burn. You say, when did that happen? It happened right after this. It wasn't just a one-time thing. Well, I'm going to take a stand, and that's pretty much it. Let the rest of everybody else take a stand. No, 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 no. You got to stand. Hey, the Bible says that we're to stand, and when you've done all to stand, stand. That's what it says in Ephesians 6. Go read it. Hey, you've done all you can do to stand. Just stand some more. Hey, just keep doing it. Just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Hey, when they tell you you can't pray or they're going to feed you to the lions, feed me to the lions. I'm just going to stand. I'm going to stand with God. Hey, these guys did it through 4 Kings. You say, what's it take? Commitment. It's a dirty word, isn't it? I just don't want to get committed. Oh, we'll commit to Little League. We'll commit to band. We'll commit to this, the Ox Lodge and the, I was going to say something else. The Ox Lodge or the Moose's Lodge or whatever. We'll make commitments to worldly things. We won't make a commitment to God. We're scared of commitment all of a sudden. Hey, marriage is a commitment. Not a whole lot of people being committed to that either. That's something that's godly. See, it's a key. Commitment is a key to marriage. Hey, the key to being a great Sunday school teacher, commitment. Hey, the key to being a good bus worker and a bus captain, commitment. Hey, the key to being a good soul winner and a good witness for Christ, commitment. Over and over and over again. Hey, it's a dirty word in our society because we live in such a selfish society. See, they committed their lives to God. I thank God for young people. I thank God for adults that commit their lives to God. Not just a portion of their life, or just a little section, or a little time here and a little time there, but they commit their lives to Christ. Till death brings us together. Hey, Paul said this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's commitment. That's commitment. Now, fellas, don't go home and say that to your wife. Till death do us part, die is gain. Don't do that. All right? But anyway, some of y'all are just being too serious. You can't get a joke. All right, commitment. But not only that, it takes discipline. Doing something over and over and over again. You know what they do in the military? They just drill you. You know what they do in math class? They just drill you. You know what they do when they teach kids how to read? It's just they drill them. It's just like drill, 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 drill. You know how you learn something? Drills. Over and over and over again. That's the Christian life. Discipline is just doing the same thing over and over and over again and don't change. Don't change your Bible. Don't change your music. Just keep doing it over and over and over again. Don't change your prayer life. Don't change your church. Hey, don't give up on soul. Just keep doing it over and over and over again. Hey, you know what these guys just did? They stood. Hey, do all you can to stand, fellas. And then when you can't do any more, just stand. That's what they did. You know why? Because they were committed. And they were disciplined. You know the church is likened to an army? It is. How'd you like to have an army protecting our country that was undisciplined? Hey, God's given us this to protect and to propagate. We need to be committed and disciplined. Committed and disciplined. See, they didn't fall for the Babylonian fads of their day because they stayed the same. See, they stuck out because they didn't change from year to year. They did the same thing year in and year out. They served God. They didn't change. The Bible tells us not to meddle with those who change. They were steadfast, unmovable, not moving. I thank God for Brother Smith. Now, sometimes I'd like to get him to move a little bit, but he's not moving. But you know what? Over the long haul, I thank God he doesn't move. You know why? Because he's kept the truth for my children to hear. See, they don't have to hear some liberal garbage or liberal music because a man stood in a pulpit for years. I don't want the generation after me to have to lose out because somebody didn't stand. And can I say something and get personal with you? The reason some of you have lost your children is you don't take a stand. You say, what do you mean? I mean a stand. I've seen them take a stand with you. I've seen them continue. I've seen them battle with you, but I've seen you give in. The day that 18 or 19-year-old boy whoops me, and my will, that'll be the day Now, he might whoop me physically, but I tell you what, he's not going to whoop my will to serve God. He's not going to allow me to drop my standards because, listen, I say I love him. I'm not going to let him hold me over a barrel and say, you better do this or I'm going to do that. I'm going to say, hey, go out there and do it. You're going to be accountable to God yourself. Hey, your mom and dad, we taught you right. You know better than that. Take a stand. You better do it now. Continuance. Don't meddle with those that change. Now, I'm through. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they stood out. They were peculiar. The Bible commands us to be peculiar. Hey, something happened to me on July 5th, 1983. I don't know what, I know what happened, but I tell you, I can't explain it. And it's made me a weirdo to some people. Some of you may even think I'm weird. But someone taught me the Bible was the Word of God. I mean, it's the Word of God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Hey, God made me. Why wouldn't I listen to this? Why would I listen to some pipsqueak human being that's just like me when I have this? Hey, why would I listen to somebody tell me how to raise my family when I can listen to this? When I can stand with this? And be for certain, it's God's Word. I don't want to be like the rest of the crowd. I don't want to be a face in the crowd. You know why these guys stood out? They had Bible convictions that governed their actions and not feel it, not, they didn't act their actions, but they didn't react because of feelings and circumstances. They allowed God's Word to be God's Word, and they just stood with it. When the crowd said, you're nuts. They were unwavering in their courage. And they just said, we're going to prove God to be true. Hey, this week, let's just go out and prove God to be true. Hey, teenager, let's prove God to be true. Hey, mom and dad, let's just prove God to be true. And listen, let's encourage one another. Godly companions that are going the right direction. Let's find somebody that's going the right direction. Not just somebody we feel comfortable with. See, some of you kids, you like the teachers that are comfortable to you because you know what? They kind of let you have your way. Why don't you fall in line with somebody that'll teach you something? That'll push you. That'll say, No. That's going to get you hurt. Godly companions that'll encourage you. And then you know what they had? They had continuance. They just knew how to stand. We got to stand. We're living in the last days, folks. And we can either blend in or we can take a stand. Listen, I want Trinity Baptist Church and the people of this church to keep doing the same thing that we were doing when we started. Not deviate from it. Stay with this old black book and the standards that it sets, and let's just stick with it. Now, the question is this, and I'm done, and we'll have an invitation, short invitation. Are you peculiar? The Bible says we're supposed to be. Or are you just another face in the crowd? One or the other. One or the other. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the instruments play, where are you? Where do you stand? I said the things I said because I love you.